Hey everybody, welcome to DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco, who is looking fuzzy and cloudy and
I woke up from a nap and everything, but now even the outer being is fuzzy and I don't know, weird.
Maybe you're not woken up yet. Maybe this is still the dream.
Maybe. You know, I've woken up from dreams that I thought I was awake, and then they were still dreams. So,
we got a show coming up here on the 21st at the FSW Arena. It's season's beatings, of course. And it's going to be a little kind of a special event. Not only can you bring the unwrapped toys and get some money off your tickets, but you got a chance to do things that most wrestling fans don't get a chance to do in helping Shogun out and getting a chance to maybe live a little bit of their dream.
We actually got our first donation. Guy Keith, who comes to a bunch of shows, he's going to be the guest manager for the six-man tag of Bodie, Matt Vandegrift, and Dante King as they take on now the team of Bryce Saturn, Evan Daniels, the exciting one, and Jaden Monroe. So Keith will be there supporting the hometown crew in that matchup with the proceeds going to Shogun. We also have, if you want to be a guest color commentator, you know, if you want to be the next Joe DeFalco or Jake Black or NJ Holiday, you know, there's opportunity to be had.
And, you know, when you look at how long you've done the toy drive, what is it about? You know, obviously you did fundraiser to help Chris. You're doing this to help Shogun. You're giving back to the community with the toy drive. I mean, what is it about giving back that really is kind of something that has been, something that you guys have been able to do and put yourself in a position to do and, have seemingly always been great at making sure that the interaction with the community is something that and the wrestler, you know, helping the wrestlers as well, that really is something that you guys take pride in doing.
Well, we learned very early on that our fans are very supportive of the things that we do. And, you know, I said from the beginning, and, you know, it was always 100% true. I didn't do this because I looked at this as a great business model where I'm going to make so much money that this is going to be fantastic and I'm going to be rich. And it was like, you know, my goal was to get the money back that, you know, I put in from day one. Right. And, you know, and it took a long time, but years later, it's like, a few extra $100 means a lot more to a lot of other people than what am I going to do with, you know, disposable income. Hey, I made some money. I always had a job. The wife has a job. You know, this was to be fun and be around people who love being a part of this. And then we found these fans who were so much also loving to be a part of it. And, you know, we first started out, we probably did like the food drive and you bring a couple of canned food items and you get $5 sure. off. And back then it would be, you know, $10 or $15 tickets and you'd bring some canned items and you get, you know, a $10 ticket, but $5 ticket sometimes. And at the end of the day, all of a sudden, you know, we were able to donate, you know, a couple hundred cans of food, you know, for people that were far needier than us. And then right. we did the same thing with the toy drive and we did that. So it was like, hey, you know what? You know, we're doing some good here. And then when we've had, you know, some incidents with some of our family, whether it was Gunner or who was, you know, a longtime fan's son who got very, very sick, and we raised money, and Chris Bay, and, you know, now Shogun. And it's tragic that, as I said, it's like, you know, that a lot of these situations have come up, but first and foremost, we're going to help our own. You know, a few people have hit us up and they used to come to shows, and it's hard to do a raffle for somebody who hasn't been here as a regular fan for 6-7 years, you know? Yeah. And also there's only so many things we can give away that, because again, the fans are doing it for a cause, but you got to be able to offer them something too. You know, it can't be like, hey, we're going to raise money, donate $100, and you're not even going to have the chance to get anything more than an 8x10. Well, how many times are you able to do it? You know, we have some great people who, you know, again, aren't rich, but man, the support for Shogun, that I get messages every day. Hey, what's the word on Shogun? Hey, how's he doing? Hey, Chris Bay, any updates that you're able to share? You know, and, you know, I've gone out of my way, whether it's, you know, the wrestlers. Hey, Royce and Jarrell. Hey, did you hear anything? Yeah, this guy, did you hear anything? And, you know, not like I am the closest person to Shogun and Chris, you know, those are guys like Ice and Limelight and some of these other, you know, the faction, but the fans are more comfortable to reach out to Joe.
Right.
And, you know, I take it upon myself to try to get information to be able to give everything out, because, as I said, it really is like a family. When somebody goes down, man, it's like, you know, the whole community of FSW fans, because those FSW fans are the ones who are also going and supporting all these other local shows,
right,
that are in town, that if you took away our fans, they wouldn't have that many. Every right. single one right. of them, you know, they all have their pockets of fans that come to their show for this and that show for that. But, you know, I look at, hey, there's the Big Valley show. They did a thing the day after ours or whatever. And it's not packed, but you look around and it's like, oh, yeah, there's Fred and there's this guy and there's Robert. And because a lot of our fans, they love wrestling, so they support. And, you know, that's why I emphasize with some of these other companies, man, you know, put together a good show. It's like, what the fuck, you know? Sure. Give these people, because, you know, to me, man, WWE's on. And it's like, oh, there's a Saturday Night Main Event. Hey, I want to hear Jesse the Body. I'm going to check it out. You know, it's tough to put 2-3 hours. And if you're going to do it multiple times, man, that is asking a lot of the fans to do that. And right. if you can't go out there and give them the best product, what the fuck are you even doing? You know, sure. And it's like, so we owe it to Marlene, who spent a few hundred dollars, not only on just the raffles, but getting Cody's jacket and bidding on it, because she knew it was going to somebody who has done well in the wrestling business, but needed our assistance. It's like, you know, when I sit and watch Fox 5 all the time, for whatever reason, it's easy to go to Fox 5. So, of course, you got Chet Buchanan, and he has the toy drive, and I see the first day, and I see the empty parking lot, and then you see it after the end of the 12th day, and it's like, holy fuck. And he said there was 7,685 bikes. And Terrible Herbs donated like 300,000, and they got to almost 800,000. And it's just about helping, because at the end of the day, what do you got? You know, it's like, I got my nice house. I got my wife. I got my kid. don't talk to them very much, but I got my kid, you know, and it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, oh, here's another week. Oh, it's another podcast. Time's just zipping by.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's going to be a time where it's like, oh shit, I'm 70 years old. Like, I'm like, holy shit, I'm 59 years old. So it's like, I want, if I'm going to do this, it's like, I got to enjoy myself.
Yeah.
And there's times I question it. I'll be honest with you, you know, between the school and running the shows and dealing with the venues and dealing with everybody else. It's like, man, but it's like, if I'm not doing this, what am I doing? Well, now I'm going to go work an 8-hour-a-day job. I've been fortunate. I haven't had to do that. I run the school, you know, paid off the house. You know, the wife still works. You know, she don't want to. But, you know, you got to go day by day. And when we do this, this puts a smile on your face. You know, it's like, hey, we were able to raise this. And hey, you know, I'll give something away right now. We're working on a Chris Bay benefit show that really has been pushed by Karrion Kross. And I can't give the details, but we're in discussions right now about doing something at the end of January. And we think the wrestling community is going to jump on board. And we're going to have a big event for Chris. And, you know, obviously the minute we get the details, you know, but there's things we have to do. And I've had a contact because, you know, their medical requirements are, you know, athletic commission requirements,
right?
You know, and I talked to Dave Mazzani. He's a fireman now. And it's like, hey, you got a paramedic on duty. And we had Oscar who used to do, he was just a wrestling fan who was a doctor who would come down and anytime there was an issue, not that we were required to do it, but we did it. He was helpful. You know, he got me in touch with a sports medicine doctor, but you know, talking with WWE, they require an ambulance on duty and, right. You know, those cost a bit of money. So, you know, we need to have all these eggs in place to try to do something for a show that we're trying to do at the end of January. Well, I started this 2 weeks ago, and now we're coming up on Christmas. There's not going to be a lot of business being done in the next week. So now it's right. Like, okay, are we going to have enough time to do this? So it's just like a lot of hustle. Then we got the show on Saturday. Then we got the show on New Year's. Then we got a show instead of the 11th, we're moving it to the 10th. You know, somebody locally is doing a show. Dom's doing a show in Arizona. So a lot of our people, I'm not going to force them to make that choice. Obviously, the ones in Arizona, there is no choice. They're not working my show. They're working Dom's show. Right. As for our show, well, then, you know, even though they're our students, they're still going to decide which one that they'd want to work for. So to not have to deal with that agitation, I'll just move the show to the 10th. So we're looking for this big show to be January 25th. And as we've been talking, that was the date we were going. Watch Saturday Night Main Events, and they announced, hey, our next show, January 25th. It's like, fuck. Now, you know, Kevin wasn't on the last Saturday Night Main Events, but they've been doing stuff with the Wyatts, and he wrestled Uncle Howdy Bo Dallas at the last show. So there's no guarantee he won't be on the Saturday Night Main Events. So now right. It's like, hey, guys, if you want to do the show the 24th, because Kevin might be utilized, you know, let me know. So we're going to see.
Right.
You know, it may not happen, but it's something, you know, hey, as my kid would say, you know, manifesting it out to the universe and you know. In a perfect world, you know, we could have, you know, some WWE talent at our show. And then right. This Saturday, because of our connections and Ice Williams being an ID guy, we have our first WWE ID match, which is only the second company to do that. And the other one was WWN this past weekend, which used to be run by Gabe. So yeah. We know we're high on the list. Jack Cartwheel versus Ice Williams is a great match.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're definitely looking forward to that along with the title match. So,
yeah. Is it, it's Danny and Watson, right?
Yes, it is Danny and Watson because of the fact that Ice is taking care of business.
Yeah. And it's very sweet of you to make it up for Watson for, losing and having to be first in the battle royal and having to compete in that for half of it and giving him a title opportunity. You know, you're a sweet guy.
Well, you know, the bottom line is after what happened, you know, Danny Limelight wanted a piece of Ice Williams. Well, I'll give him a piece of the faction for right now because, you know, obviously this is what the WWE wants. It's a benefit to us, so we have to do it.
Yeah. Again, I think can you remember Watson 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and just how far he's come? That Danny is pretty damn it's gonna be pretty damn good, you know.
Well, I remember specifically because you know, that was a guy that was kind of part of the training with Hammerstone and then Graves. And he was the rising star of Arizona at the time. And I remember bringing him in, and it was like, wow, Shogun's way better than this motherfucker. Like, this is the top guy. This is like the guy they're building in Arizona. And he was fine, but he was nowhere near the level of a Shogun at the time, because I believe it was around that time, 2018-ish, in that situation. And I remember Graves giving him the stamp of approval. They had a match, and Graves put him over, which is very important in the FSW community, because a lot of times when they see the out-of-town talent, they pay it no mind until they become regulars in the situation. That right. They're not going to back you. They're not going to give a shit because they're going to assume that you might be only there one time. And that's why it's important for us with these guys, especially the Arizona or the California crew, to make them mainstays, because then they become our guys to the fans. And That's how Sean Ricker, Eli Drake, LA Knight became our guy, because he was the guy that they saw every show. Right. And it was like, oh man, we love this guy. This guy's great. And of course, locally when Sepha and Bay and all these guys, and then they sniffed a little success, forget about it. You know, it was as if a lot of our fans felt they were part of the journey. Sure. Look across, you know, go on Twitter and go see somebody, or go on Facebook and just see all the love. Oh, I remember you in FSW. Oh, in FSW, man, when you were this and that. Like, man, those are the fondest memories of so many of the fans, was watching Cross, was watching Lacey, was watching Sepha, watching Chris. Yeah. You know, now it's like, hey, you turn on a New Japan show, and guess what? You can't watch two matches in a row without an FSW person winning a match.
Right. Yeah, no you kidding. Know, right?
Royce and Jarrell, they win the Open Championship tag team. You know, TJP wins. Jacob Austin Young's team wins. Tito Escondido scores the pin with fucking, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. in the match.
Yeah.
You know, those are our guys. Tito, for people who don't know, Tito was with us in 2011 and 12 and 13, and him and Che and all these guys, and Vandegrift, you know, was in the opener. And even somebody else we used, Johnny Robbie, she was in the match. And right. I know Viva was there, but I don't think she had a match. But she's been very, she gave up a lot of stuff to be part of New Japan. You know, she was booked on AAA shows. So, again, the name Future Stars of Wrestling, there's so much talent everywhere that have a history, have a legacy, you know, with us. And, you know, it's great for the fans because, you know, what person's next? Hey, when's Gregory Sharp getting his run, you know? And there's so many other people. Now it's like, hey, when is Ice and Jordan Oasis getting their run, you know? So talked with Oasis a lot over the last few days. So, you know, he's been there and, you know, filmed some stuff at the school.
Yeah.
And we've been real fortunate.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's fun to see this kind of evolution of what they're looking at doing and trying to create this, you know, atmosphere with the ID. But like you said, you look all over and you start seeing New Japan, and that show, you know, took place in Long Beach, and was a solid lineup, amazing card for, you know, for a New Japan show here. And a lot of that West Coast talent is FSW talent. And then, you know, you look at the main event on, the mid event on SmackDown, where you had, you know, LA Knight versus Solo Sikoa.
Hey, you know, we never got a chance to do it in FSW, but yeah, you know, waiting for Cross and LA Knight to cross paths, or Cross, you know, and Sepha to cross paths. It's like, all you can do is put a smile on your face. It's like, oh, this is awesome. You know, I remember LA Knight almost killing himself at the FSW arena as he was on the top rope and something went wrong and he went crashing onto the floor and it's like, oh fuck. But you know, that was in front of, you know, it was an extremely packed house at the school, but it's still a packed house of 180 people, maybe 200 if we're lucky. And right. It's like, to see where those guys were. And it's funny, like, I wasn't aware of all the stuff that happened at New Japan. And I'm scrolling down Twitter and you know, all of a sudden, I see our guy from the East Coast and making the post. And I'm like, oh, shit, you know. And it's the fans who recognize.
Yeah.
And you see, hey, you know, who do you want to see next, you know, with the ID schools? And people I don't even know, like not even Vegas people, you know, are flooding it with FSW, FSW, FSW. Right. Hey, another FSW guy when Oasis got there. And it's like, you know, and that's what I was looking at when we started, was to get a brand out there that was, as someone once said, why do you book all these guys that are not from Vegas? And I said, because they're better than you. And it was like, why are the Vegas guys putting, you know, not winning matches? And why are the Reno Scum winning? And it's like, again, because I'm based in Vegas, I want wrestling fans everywhere to be aware of our product. And by being aware, it's having House of Glory come to town and GCW, right, and working with them and trying to put something together with Booker T for Reality of Wrestling Mania weekend, you know. And it's like, people normally only get to see what we put out there. Do you know how many conversations that have led to fucking nowhere?
Sure.
Hours and hours of time that's put in trying to get stuff. It's funny, I just, right before we started, I got a message from MK. And MK works with Adonis for the promotion they do in Pittsburgh. And right. I guess they lost their venue. And because new owners took over, just how like it normally is. Now, all of a sudden, now there's a hodgepodge of, you know, other companies. that are coming in, and it's just making everything difficult. And it's like, right. Yeah, bro, when anybody sees an opening for a chance of doing something, because they all think they could do it better, so they're all going to go try and do it. And in a lot of cases, the effort they put in is minimal. And sure. then they wonder why, when you see pictures, and I see some of our guys at a show, and there's, you know, our Future Shock is outdrawing their show that they haven't done in 3 months. Well, that's on them to push it, because yeah. There's a lot of times I'm like, oh shit, there's another show today. I didn't even know.
Right.
And I guess it's fun to do a show every once in a blue moon, but without promotion, you got nothing. And right. I always try to tell my guys, as I say, I don't love them going around working everywhere else in town. Go work everywhere else. But if yeah. you're going to, at least make it valuable to yourself. You know, going to work some shitty guy in front of no people for a $20, $30, $40 payday is pointless.
Right.
Yep. You know, and even when you do go other places, things could happen. One of our guys booked to be on the show Saturday. Main guy. Hey, I got hurt my shoulder. Can't make the show Saturday, or can't wrestle on the show Saturday.
Right.
You know, and Nino Black just came back. And then he was in Arizona, kind of tuning up for the run. He got hurt.
Yep.
And, you know, he wrestled at Future Shock, but we had a couple of matches in between that he would have been on and couldn't make it. Because he got injured. So if you're going to risk getting injured, please make it valuable. You know, right. Wrestle somebody good. Make it a good company. Make it a good payday. It's got to be something. There's got to be a benefit behind it. But right. Wrestling some fucking barely trained guy for a minimal payment at a show with not a lot of people, and now you get hurt, you just stopped yourself from being booked for a couple months. Look how right. many injuries there are. Brittany Brooks finally starting to come back from the ACL. And she had one a couple years ago. So she has to be picky on the company she wants to work for. Because right. she's not in a position to keep risking injury. And we see, you know, maybe thank God that's why AEW has such a big roster. Because how many guys are out? Because they're hurt. You know, in their position, they're hurt, but they're getting paid.
Right. That's the big thing, yeah.
You know, Hammerstone, he's got a contract with TNA. But he's been on and off. He got concussion protocol, a couple of pay-per-views ago. Couldn't do the shows. Then they got him back. He got in. He hurt his knee. He made the post. He's hoping it's yeah. only going to be a couple weeks. Well, I don't care how minor a surgery is. Coming back in 3-4 weeks isn't easy.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But, you know, I think the one thing that, for instance, Hammerstone, it's his first major injury. It's his first surgery. In all the years having to do it. So I think for him, it's more of that newness of never having this before, and that, you know, that not letting the fears seep in of what, you know, what this will be, but get it over and now get me back into training my body so I can get back, you know.
Well, yeah, it might be his first time having surgery. But he's been out of action because sure. of nagging injuries that sure. you're always going to have. Now the question becomes, how bad is Danny Limelight's knee? And he took some time off and said he's got some tears and things like that, and he's working through it. Well, obviously, you know, you could tear something, but maybe tear it in a far less serious situation. Yeah. Because if it's a full tear, it's hard for me to believe that Danny Limelight is still going to be going 100%. Like, you know, when my wife blew out her knee, she could, you could tell there was something wrong immediately if you saw her walk a week later or whatever and told the surgery. Right. Okay. You know, you look at Limelight, he's got a knee brace on, but he's walking pretty good. So right. You don't look at him from afar and be like, hey, I bet there's something wrong with that guy's knee at all. So right. Again, the severity of it is probably less. And he's probably lucky in that situation. Just like we immediately thought he broke his nose in the match. Right. But it was so far up that he just fucked it up and it was patched up and good to go.
Right.
You know, and, you know, right now, There's a lot on the line, you know, Ice Williams, Jack Cartwheel, you know, they're going to be wrestling other shows, but now they're being watched and, you know, somebody out of those grouping of ID guys is going to step out because it's going to happen. There's no doubt. There's a lot more publicity, promotion behind these guys that they keep posting that somebody has to end up being announced as officially signed with WWE, because then it makes that ID program far more valuable. If they right. come out and be like, hey, after 4 months, WWE has liked so much of what they've seen that Ice Williams is now signed. Oh, shit. Man, what do we got to do to get there?
Right.
Yep. And again, you also know we needed some work done. We had to change out the ropes and things like that. And we have, you know, we want to look as good as possible. And for some of the students and some of the guys, they're not around. They'll just come in a day or two this week and nothing will change for them. Right. And they'll bitch and moan and cry about why they haven't gotten that opportunity. But it's what you put forth to it. Yeah. And you got to work your ass off. And that becomes all aspects of what we need. You know, when you're part of the wrestling school, we need you to help do this. You know, and a lot of times they don't. When Gabe came the first time, nobody could say, hey, I didn't have the money. It was a free tryout for a WWE scout. I will be there. And I'm going to give all you guys matches, and I'm going to critique all your matches for free. And there's 25 people that aren't there. There's legit tag teams and legit singles wrestlers who are on the main roster, who all they got to do is show up at a time they might not normally show up.
Yeah.
You know, and if I remember correctly, it wasn't even on, and it could have been, but I don't believe it was on a Friday or Saturday. But again, sometimes taking that booking over there, even if it's Arizona or California, to wrestle some marginal match in front of a mediocre crowd, maybe the better option was be in front of the WWE guy. Because I know some of those WWE guys got emails, got used, not through me because Gabe asked me for people, but a guy who happened to be at that show, Primo Genio, got used because of FSW.
Right.
So there were other people from out of town. Because Gabe stayed for the show. Primo Genio was not part of the tryout the right. day before. But he came to the show that Gabe went to. And then he had certain people that, hey, Oasis, I like that guy. Hey, I love Ice Williams. Oh, yeah. And then there's other guys. And it's like, hey, here's my info. You know, let me know what you're doing. And down the line, they got utilized for stuff. You know, Oasis went around and you could see him in many different roles as an extra for WWE.
Yep.
Because he took the time himself. Hey, I'll take the drive to Cali and work. I'll go to Phoenix and work. I'll go to, my home state of Washington. I'll go see my mom and I'll go to the SmackDown taping and get extra work. Not because the pay's so great, because I want to let them know that I'm willing to do everything I can because this is my dream and this is what I want.
Is it true his mom still charged him for the room and rent for the night up there?
Probably.
Speaking really quick about the injuries, we talked a little bit about Hammerstone. Obviously, he's going to go through the surgery. How's Moz doing with her recouping? She seems to be kind of coming along a little bit by little bit, right?
I didn't talk to her this week. The last I talked, so I know she was going to get her MRI and finding out what the damage was in that situation. A few people I know saw Shogun. He's improving, day by day from what I hear. In the accident, he broke his jaw. So I know somebody who saw him yesterday and they were like, and they didn't know that. So they didn't know that they had to wire the jaw shut. He was like, yeah, he was very, interactive, but not vocal. And I'm like, well, they had to wire his jaw shut. He goes, okay, well, that makes sense. So yeah. I don't know if that's the reason why he wasn't talking yet, but I'm pretty sure with a wired jaw, you're not going to be doing much talking.
And yet Rainey was able to talk, so.
I guess you're right.
But what I'm saying is, would it have been better if Rainey's job,
It definitely would have been better if he didn't talk. Yeah. But you know what? He more mumbled than really talked. So. But then again, that's what he kind of does. So, I talked with Chris. He called me before Future Shock last week. And, he is improving. That's all I can say. It's like, call it a miracle, whatever you want to call it. But, hopefully Chris will be back in Vegas probably right after the holidays. I know he said he was supposed to come back initially first week of December, but they were holding him there longer. And I guess when you're making improvements, it's probably best not to take him out of that situation anyway. So we got some real good news in the last week or so on both Chris and Shogun. Hopefully, knock on wood, if we do this benefit show for him at the end of January, he'll get to see some of his friends and hopefully he'll be there. But everything is still waiting to be had. Like I said, hey, maybe it's the 24th now, maybe it's the 25th. I got people who are definitely interested. One of the best people I know, Raj from TNA, I talked with him. He was one of the first guys that I barely talked to the dude when I had my surgery. Hey, bro, how you been? I had the surgery. And he's always been, checking on me to see how I am. His dad's great. I love his dad. It was, he cut some of the best promos in TNA, and it was like, how's Pops? And again, you never know. You get the Puerto Rican connection. You got Toa. He's Samoan and Puerto Rican. And Raj is Indian and Puerto Rican because the dad was in Puerto Rico a lot, and he married a Puerto Rican woman. And it was like, wow, Raj is Puerto Rican too. And I just talked to him again last week, and he's looking, if we did to do this show, to come out and guys that have a lot on their plate. Guy I've never used, talked to him a million times, Vinny Pacifico, who doing really good stuff on the indies. He's like, you know, keep me updated. I'd love to come out for it. So, and that's without even reaching out to some of the TNA guys that we know and seeing who's willing to come out and whether they wrestle or just participate in something like this. So, you know, hopefully we'll know more because shit, next week's Christmas week. Right. So, as I said, you know, every day I'm checking my, you know, emails, seeing if we can move forward and, you know, be able to make this happen. Right. And, you know, so we'll see. And in the meantime, you know, Booker T ran a show this past weekend. So we got them more information about the Silverton and possibly doing a show on the Thursday because Friday's, you know, SmackDown and the Hall of Fame. So Booker obviously has to be part of the Hall of Fame thing. He's not sure when NXT is. I heard Saturday at noon. Booker's usually, like, you know more than me at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually, it's been the Saturday at about 11 or noon. So, you know, we'll see. I would assume that it's probably going to stay on that schedule. Because I think what I know, they usually, everyone starts to get in around, like the trucks and stuff will get in after Raw. So they'll get in Tuesday and then talent will start getting in somewhere around Wednesday or Thursday. So it's going to be interesting, Joe.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, Mikey's getting on it. We're hoping to get, you know, the big announcements for the Full Tilt 3 weekend, WrestleMania, getting the logos and getting the word out, you know, because like we said, you know, I got four shows that are scheduled at the venue. And for everybody who doesn't understand, it's not our shows. It's four different companies. And even Wednesday, we got two. And Friday, we got three. And we're holding an 8 o'clock spot. And Saturday, we have a noon and like an 11 p.m. show. So somebody wants to run before Mania and somebody wants to run after Mania. And I'm looking for somebody who wants to run a Sunday at noon show because.
Can you do a Sunday night show after WrestleMania to be the first wrestling show after WrestleMania?
We could. Somebody wants to pay. I'm more than hoping, you know. Get your funds together, Matt. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, maybe Joey wants to book a show. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I'll talk to the kid. Let's see if we can come up with something.
2, 6, 9, 11. So right now we're at 11. We know we'll do it Friday. If we do something with Booker's 12, there's another company that wants to run possibly before us if we did the Silverton. Because they feel that the arena is too small for 280 people for them.
For what they can draw, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'll say it. I don't give a fuck. It's a women's Japanese wrestling show. So they're interested.
Yeah, and that's...
Spark Joshi, I guess they're called. And I guess they run pretty popular shows in California. And I guess they ran a WrestleMania event a couple years ago that they said they drew very well on. So I guess they work with Shimmer. So we'll see. And like I said, you know, there's not that I think there any of these companies be like, oh, no. On my podcast, you know, Demand Lucha, All Caribbean Wrestling that features a lot of FSW talent. I know Kenny works there. Limelight works there. Moz works there. Yeah. So, you know, they're going to be here. You know, of course, your boy Ed and Podermania will be in effect. He'll be running that Friday afternoon show at noon. So, you know, he's scouring for all the talent.
He might have to swipe up some of the Japanese women talent, you know, to.
He'll pay. He don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because they're looking at the Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday afternoon at like 4. So we're going to basically be running head to head against ourselves. You know, old Michael Keaton movie, Multiplicity. I need at least two or three of me, because if we're at the Silverton doing shows, I have to also make sure everything's good at the arena.
Right.
Because there's 4 shows that day. And then if, because I don't know, and I'm still waiting, I got a message from Brett Lauderdale the other day, and I was excited, and I opened it up, and it was a picture of the strip, and
what year was it this time?
What year was this? So yeah, it's like, how about giving me a picture of the Palms in 2024, and says, hey, we need you for the setup. So we still haven't heard back on that one, and now we're getting close, man. Now it's the end of December, January, February, 4 months away. We got to lock shit in,
you know, and Brett goes and he sends you that picture. And yet on Saturday night, he's in LA and has Jericho show up to set up that ROH match.
How about that setup? He's shitting all over AEW, the Effie thing.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, hey, those are the best stories. And having a Chris Jericho show. It was a big deal that Chris Jericho did a promo for us via satellite, basically, that a taped right. promo for the Mecca. And it's like, oh, shit, fucking you guys got Jericho. So imagine having Jericho show up at a show is fucking crazy.
You should have looked at the schedule and saw that Chris was in L.A. playing Kiss cover songs from the 80s, the non-makeup period. And then he was here Sunday doing it at Vamp. So you should have ran a show on Sunday, and I'm sure you could have got Chris to do it.
I had to do it a hit of disco.
Or you could have got Cordona. If you would have had Cordona on your show on Sunday, Chris would have had a reason to be there.
There you go. It would have been well worth to lose my ass at a school show.
And then no promotion on it either, you know.
Yeah. Making a surprise. But, you know, like Cross did with Moxley. It's like, bro, why didn't you tell me sooner and we could have moved it to Sam's Town and actually made good money out of the deal?
Because, Joe, they're talent. You're a promoter. There's,
you know, it was already a sold-out event. So,
right,
you know. All it did was cost me $500 more to have Moxley, which was great. One of the best things, you know, yeah. Some of our fans, that'll be the best moment they've ever had. Like, holy fucking shit. I was holy fucking shit because I didn't know. So, you know, I guess it becomes a cooler thing. Yeah. But it's like, wow, I would have, you know, for the packed house it was, hey, I wouldn't have mind 500 or 600 people at Sam's Town.
Yeah. Well, you know. That's that's the difference between, you know, the idea of surprise and you know, talents coming up with stuff and good idea. And then it's like, yeah, but the whole gist of the business is, I don't know, promotion and getting asses in seats, because unfortunately, when it's a one-off, it's not going to happen the next time. So maybe you get that little buzz of, oh, maybe. Who
right. It wasn't like we were setting up for Moxley Cross 2 that we could have put in.
Right. So.
But hey. But again, those are moments, as I said, House of Glory, whatever, that no matter what, that they'll forever be etched in my head. Yeah. You know, when I'm 85 years old in the nursing home. You know, telling the stories of back in the day, you know, when Dwayne Johnson III is headlining WrestleMania, you know, I could talk about all the guys we trained that wrestled for WWE.
Oh, man. Let's see, the show coming up, we talked about a couple matches. Any other match? I think we
we got Watson against Limelight, of course.
Right.
Vandegrift, Bodie, and Dante in the six-man tag.
Right.
We also have the Billionaire Boys Club looking to bounce back, and Mariachi Montaña looking to strike while the iron's hot. Yeah. Makeshift Chemistry, surprisingly enough, have asked for some mic time. They're looking to call out Sky High, and, you know, I'm not sure that how well that's going to work out. So we're going to definitely have security on standby for that one.
Oh, no.
You know, Alice Blair will be there, the new women's champion. Gypsy Mac will be there. Zamaya will be there. So figuring out where we're going to be going in that one. Duke Lawrence will be in singles action with MK, who might be dressed up as the Grinch, you know, being that it is season's beatings. So, you know, we're looking forward to an exciting show. We got a lot of talent on there, you know, a lot of the, you know, the A-list, as we, you know, like to call them. They will all be in action. Or they will be appearing, and like I said, you know, we're trying to set everything up as we move forward. I'm trying to look at, let's see, you know, who I might have missed. I'm looking at the flyer sheet and seeing if I missed anybody.
I think that was pretty much covered.
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't see anybody else.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, half the time these whatever it is, was like, why doesn't that work? Why don't that work?
Yeah, of course. And again, it's the 21st, 7 p.m. start time, correct?
Yeah, 7 p.m. We're also gonna do a raffle, trying to find some stuff, you know, that people would be interested in. And we're going to give that money to Shogun. Still got a long recovery ahead for him.
Yeah.
But at least the prognosis is a lot better. So we're excited about that. You know, hey, you never know. Bay and Shogun back together. You know, we can only wish it happens sooner than later.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's just amazing how there's so much good and then there's so much bad. And it's like, you can never get to where there's just so much good and no bad. And I guess that's part of life. You know, if it was that easy, then I guess, I don't know, there'd be more happy people in this world.
Or we'd both still have hair. So.
Yeah. You know, I missed the mullet, but I'm okay with the short hair. It's easy. I take out the thing, put on the one buzzer, and, you know, according to my wife, I got blotches everywhere in the back because I can't see. So she might have to touch that up. But it's weird because when you go like this with the razor thing, and you do it, it was weird. Like on this side yesterday, like I did it, but it depends on the angle you're at.
Yeah, you have to, because the blade has to cut the hair. So yeah,
and the thing right here, like on the side, it was like, man, it was like, it felt like a little bush sticking out that I couldn't like get to it, you know. And finally, I guess I was standing up, like, why is there hair all over the sink? I'm like, thought you did it in the shower. I was like, I did, but it looked out of whack. So of course, you know, I got yapped at for not cleaning up enough after myself.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's, you know, every morning in that shower, you do that shave, and then I realize you have to do it where you shave it, and then you have to put that hand up, and you have to feel where exactly those little patches are, and then just get it that smooth look, you know?
You know, I'm trying to look at trying to get it done right, but you know, but I can't believe they normally, if I went to go to the place to do it, they do it for 15 minutes and charge you $50.
Yeah.
It's like $200 an hour. That's a pretty expensive gig.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, Nino Black does the house calls at the I don't understand why he doesn't embrace Nino the Barber Black. You know what I mean? That is his legit occupation. You know, he brings the barber chair and everything. He's got to see him snipping. All of a sudden I walk in and in the back and it's like, yeah, there he is cutting somebody's hair.
And that would make it such a more interesting barbershop, like, you know, segment than, you know, the old, you know, Brutus stuff. Like a realistic barbershop segment where these guys are talking smack to each other. I think that'd be brilliant. That'd be amazing. And it would go viral. Nino could build his following twofold, maybe even threefold. Really quick, before we wrap up, Future Shock, how were the new, you know, talent that that debuted? How'd you like some of what you saw there?
Yeah, there was a couple of scary moments during the show. Colin Muldoon, first match, had his family, had his friends there. He wrestled Watson, speaking of Watson. And, you know, Watson is proving to be a very strong ring general. There was a couple of hiccups. Obviously, it's his first match. But Colin has an amateur wrestling background. Right. And he's just 18 years old. So, but you could just see he has a presence about him.
Yeah.
You know, good looking trunks. As I always say, he looks like Guevara. Other people say he looks like Hook. But, you know, good-looking young kid, athletic, and he really has a lot of promise.
Yeah.
You know, and he was the only guy who made his official debut. Like, he didn't wrestle. He was in the Battle Royal as a gimmick, and he came as Hook, despite I told him he should have been Guevara. But this was his first match and he did extremely well. And again, you know, Watson took the place of a Gregory Sharp, who's usually that ring general that we've used a lot of times at Future Shock. Yeah. And Greg's in, like, I think Nigeria or something wrestling. And he was gone. He's gone for like a month, something like that. But he did really well. And, you know, a lot of the younger guys, again, there's always stuff you're going to see that you like and stuff that you don't like. You know, the four-way was pretty good, and it was good for a chance to see, like, Jaden Monroe looks like the real deal, man. It's like just in 2 or 3 months since we came in, he was just this goofy kid. And, you know, you see him backstage and Zamaya's ordering him around, you know, things like that. But now, all of a sudden, this kid's in the transformation, hanging out with Class and Reno, who take the appearance.
Yep.
And Jaden Monroe's not 6 feet two. He's not 250 pounds. No, he's a smaller guy, but he's put on a lot of bulk, and he looks like $1 million. Then they have another young kid that I guess him and Jaden are tag teams in Arizona. But we brought him in, RJ Wild, and very, very athletic. He reminds me of JKM. He's just a shorter version. Two guys that are both very, very athletic and add a little something, something. The former Flyboy Freddie Cordova, you know, he's solid. Yeah. And it's good because this is also the opportunity where guys like that who are so eager to get on shows, there just isn't opportunities other than a Future Shock, and these guys are willing to make the drive and put in the work for what they know is not a lot of money, but they want the opportunity because there's so many people who want the opportunity to wrestle at FSW. Right. And these guys kind of have that little in because they got the Dom Hammerstone Gallo in because of the school that they go to. And it's similar, like I just saw, Makeshift Chemistry is going to be PCW. And it's almost like a talent exchange.
Yeah.
You know, when we end up having some really good young talent, boom, they're there. You know, Suavecito's, one of their first out of town gigs was at PCW.
Yeah.
So our talent gets the opportunity to work there. And again, it's like, hey guys, try to get that work there. You mentioned FSW. There's a fight between Arizona Wrestling Federation and PCW because Dom does not allow his talent to work Arizona Wrestling Federation. Right. They have the in with certain companies. It's like Navajo's got his company and there's another company. So they have a good relationship with some, and Navajo has a good relationship with some. So they can, both companies basically can work at two places and not the other two places.
Right.
So that's why I always joke, but it's real, when I say, hey, see, you know, two of Arizona's best wrestling each other, because it could only happen in Las Vegas. In
Vegas, yeah.
You know, but right. It's still, you know, you're getting, like I said, then you got the other crew that'll be on this show, which is the Bryce Saturns and the Damian Desires and Evan Daniels. And, you know, they got the Chewy kid who's pretty good. And there's a lot of these younger guys that aren't really ready for our main shows. So right. If we can get them on the future shocks. And that's how Bryce Saturn really impressed me. It was like, hey, I needed a match, you know, and he wrestled Ice Williams, and those guys, probably the best future shock match we had in 2024.
Yeah.
So, and now right. Bryce Saturn is put in a far bigger situation.
And, you know, and over the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 years, I mean, obviously Evan goes back a while in terms of his, you know, his career, but his development has excelled in the last 2 to 3 years. And Bryce has been the same way in terms of, you know, making himself, you know, known and better. So it's amazing to see that, you know, again, that determination, that taking it to that next level of going from being someone who's trained, who's good, who gets matches, to someone who really is becoming a professional wrestler. Both those guys are, you know, incredible. When you watch them work now, boy, they know how to do the job. And it's so impressive. And I'm sure the six-way is going to be, you know, the three-man tag is going to be incredible on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, definitely looking forward to that one. And, you know, the thing is, it's like when guys like that, with Bryce Saturn, what I said, he had to make a decision on what he wanted to do with no guarantees.
Right.
And Damian Desire was the first one to do it with zero guarantees. Like, he wasn't guaranteed a booking with me just because he said, I'm not going to go work over there. And it's like, if you're a wrestler, your mindset is to wrestle. And right. You're only looking generally at the short-term gain of why you're making a decision to do something. Right. Well, I'm not booked today. Why won't I work that show over there? But my long-term goal is to do that and not this. So maybe I'll make the decision to not work at that show because I understand that FSW has more talent than we really need. You know, I talk about AEW and stuff like that. It's like, can we run a show with take our top 22 guys? Yeah, I'm pretty sure we can. And never have a Bryce Saturn on, or never have a Tito Escondido, or never use Limelight on a frequent basis, and just use our core guys. Well, how stale does that get? I would rather say, sorry, Damian Drake, you can't work tonight on the 21st, but on the 31st of New Year's, you can.
Right.
And sorry, Clutch, you can't work this show, but you can work the next show. And a lot of guys, like especially the out of town guys, because they're a little less understanding of it, because it's easy to tell Vandegrift, hey, yeah, we're going to use you on this show. Hey, are you good for that one? Hey, right. It's cool if you don't work this one. And they understand because they could talk to me every day. But it was like, hey, Bryce Saturn, like, hey, about Future Shock. And it's like, well, the plan is probably to use you for the 21st. You're kind of at that level now that I'd rather get guys who haven't been on shows. But I know he's trying to impress as often as possible, but's not aware that I can put 16 matches on Future Shock and still have 8 guys wanting to be on the show.
Right.
So it's like trying to get these guys to understand that even though we're working storylines, it's almost like, because we do it every 2 weeks, so it's like, oh, you know, one day is Raw, one day SmackDown.
Right.
But it's spaced out over 2 weeks instead of Raw on Monday and SmackDown on Friday. So now the next week comes, and then they have 2 more shows that you can be on. So you're still on every week. Here, it's basically trying to get over, trying to impress, trying to get yourself into a storyline that maybe instead of being used once every 2 shows, now you're used 2 out of 3 shows.
Right.
Because we're working into something as we're doing the storyline. So, you know, my heavyweight champion, instead of not having him wrestle because we're doing an ID match, well, we can still tell the story and have him work Watson.
Right. Yep.
But it also gets our heavyweight champion to defend the belt, to be seen. You know, that's the face, the heavyweight champion. We got the No Limits champion. Okay, he won't be on this show. He'll be on the next one. Well, he didn't make Future Shock. Well, that's not a show for him. So in reality, Damian Drake's making 1 show out of 3. Danny Limelight's making 1 show out of 3. Gregory Sharp's out of town. Hey, he works the, which is great. So that Gregory Sharp works the casino show, and then he goes away for a month. Okay, and then no harm, no foul.
Nigeria or Peru or, you know.
Right, wherever he is. World, you know, Jacob Austin Young. I just saw he, you know, he's coming back to work the IZW show or something.
Right.
So, but I know he's going back there to Japan. But, hey, if he becomes available, I have to hit him up. Like, who doesn't want to see Jacob Austin Young versus Limelight again? Or who wants to see Jacob Austin Young versus Damian Drake that probably hasn't been done in a long time other than when they were feuding with the Unguided and Death Proof. So it's also keeping those fresh matchups and having we have Jacob Austin Young in the back pocket when we need him. Gregory Sharp when we need him. You know, Bateman's a regular now when we need him. You know, he's available. I'm going to try to use him as much as possible. You know, talking with Jada Stone, you know, she's leaving. Might try to get her on this show just because next month now she's going to a tour of Japan. She was on TNA last week. Like, how do I not get that person who wants to wrestle on our shows?
Yeah, absolutely.
So instead of saying, hey, you know what? We're full. It's like, okay, can I find a spot for an extremely talented person who wants to wrestle at an affordable rate to us?
Right.
Because again, it's about putting on the best shows and not being like, hey, well, if I don't put Jacob Austin Young anymore because his rate might rise because he was in Japan a little bit, and hey, I'll just use Limelight for the casinos, I could just use all the students, and then I can make a profit on every show. And it's like, sometimes you think to yourself, yeah, why don't I just make the money? And then it's like, because I'm a wrestling fan.
Right.
And I try not to take shortcuts.
You're not a Roland Alexander. If you were a Roland Alexander.
Well, yeah, I am aware of that. I met Roland. We got along well. I took him to the first Buffalo Gym show at the beach, where Buffalo got like 7 or 9,000. He paid Mabel, and as Rush said, everybody else got checks for $2. And most of them didn't cash it because it was like, you know, hey, we got paid for a show. But that's what it was. It was $2. But the funny thing was, back then they had to get a license. So probably Rush had to pay 50 or 75 bucks.
Right.
So he got paid minus 73 for a show that got paid $9,000 for. Other than Legacy, he was one of like 9 people who actually bought a ticket to that show.
Oh man, RIP to those two guys.
Yes.
Oh man. So, 21st, Triller TV as well, if you're not in town. And since we're going into Christmas week, I guess the final question I can ask you here is, you're going into your last Christmas in your 50s, Joe. What's the big thing Joe needs for Christmas?
Let's see. To be like in Star Trek, to where you could just beam to places and not have to like drive anywhere and walk to things, and, you know. That way I can have even less exercise. I don't even have to like walk to my car.
I mean, really, we could just hook up your cerebral cortex to some kind of thing that like just like shoots your hologram to a place, and you absolutely don't have to do anything.
Well, I'll tell you what what would be, even though the show wouldn't be till January, my New Year's resolution would be like, for all the good things that are on the horizon for them to happen and all the bad things not happen.
Yeah.
You know, there was too much, you know, I think this year in some way was one of the worst years we've had in a long time when it comes to what happened in wrestling, just with Chris Bay alone.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. And it just took on just a whole somber thing. Like, how could it be? How could that happen? You know, he's in the ring with a guy who's been doing it for 30 years. Like, how is this possible? And, you know, and you see, and then it's like, you know, even for Chris, like talking with him that which I'm not, but, you know, when you're that person, you're shocked that there's so much love and support out there for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it makes me, hey, there's guys I haven't talked to in a long time that I like a lot, and just time passes, that you just want to reach out and say, hey, what's up? Hope all is good. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, people don't do that. And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, fuck. You know, there's people, you know, that pass away, and it was like, oh man, it was like, I can't believe it. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, or I was going to reach out to him. And that's happened to where it's like, oh man, you know, and you're seeing people, because as you grow older, more people, it doesn't even matter if it's sports people that you watched, actors, whatever. It's like, oh man, I remember him when I was a kid. You see these baseball players, and it was like, I remember watching them, and it was like, they were 87 years old. And it's like, fuck, you know, when I was 8 years old, I was watching baseball. You know, I was born in 1965. I remember watching the 1973 World Series with the Mets and the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
I was 8 years old. So guys that were playing then were probably 30 years old. So 50 years later, they're in their 80s.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, time's going to zip by and we ain't going to be here anymore. And I never understood that when I was, you know, 20 something. At 50 something, it's like, yeah, but what's going to happen at the end of billions if I die? I'm not going to know what happened to my guy. And it's like, you know, my shows that I'm like dedicated to watching, or the wrestling company is like, am I able to do this in 10 years? If I want to, am I able to do this in 15 years? You know, you see people that all of a sudden they're in their mid 60s. Like my dad passed away at 62.
Yeah.
Like, man, when I was 30 and he got diagnosed with cancer at 60, like, 60, holy Christ. Yeah. Jesus Christ, I'm going to be 60. And I look at like, man, my dad was old when I was 30 and he was 60. And I look at myself and I think, I'm not that old.
Right.
And your perception of everything is when you get older, your tastes are going to change. You're not going to like music. You know, I love listening to the new Linkin Park song or the new Metallica when it came out. And like, that was the shit that I would play at a radio station in college when I was 19 years old. To think that I'm still listening to Metallica and they're still actually putting out music.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy. And it's the same thing with sports, because back when we were younger, if you were 40 in every sport, you were done.
Yeah.
Wow. This guy's 40. Holy fuck. He's an old motherfucker. Now it's like guys are in their 50s and it's no big deal.
Dude, I mean, even it's funny, you know, look, when the NWO hit, Hogan was like 45. You know, right around somewhere around there, 42. The same age, right around 42, the same age that Ricker is, and he's just starting his prime.
Yeah.
It's crazy now, man.
Yeah, that guy's in their mid to late 30s. Damian Priest.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy who's over 40 years old.
Yeah.
And it was like, And to me, I said, you know, we had a chance to use him the last Mecca because Ring of Honor canceled and he was leaving. That was his last show. And nobody knew he was going to WWE. If he was, I probably would have paid him like the $100 he was looking to get paid and squeezed him on the card, you know. But who was Punishment Martinez? He was just a marginal guy in Ring of Honor.
And he dropped that belt here to Cobb. In that last match. So,
is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was the television title, I think, that that he had. And he dropped it to Cobb on his way out in Vegas. So, and really, honestly, it was very hush-hush. I had a little knowledge that he was going there, but it wasn't officially on the table, it wasn't officially signed. And it was surprising because it was like NXT taking a guy who's at that time, I think it's like 38. It was just kind of like, oh, okay.
You know, so the bottom line is try to enjoy life because, you know, you never know. Anything could happen. It's like, oh shit, this guy died. He was only this. And it was like out of nowhere. And you know, it's one race you will never win.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're not happy, you don't want to wrestle for me, then don't go somewhere else. You know, and it's the same, you know, how I feel. Hey, you don't want to be here? Good riddance. You know, we have too many people that do want to be here. And, you know, this wouldn't exist at all if it wasn't for the people who pay money to come to these shows.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing sometimes. It's like, make sure you treat the fucking fans with respect. You know, sometimes they can get dumb and stupid. But they're, you know, they're trying to egg you on in most cases because they're trying to have fun. It's an escape. It's the same thing as a wrestler who has to call out somebody because of their appearance. And it's like, this person came here for a release and to go out and have fun and to be talked about or made fun of. You know, if that's how you're going to get your heat. There's a couple people I stopped using because that's what they tried to do. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, just the cheap heat. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. But that's it, you know. Again,
you know, if you want to say Rocky T sucks, that's fine. But you know, don't get personal with our fans.
That's not cheap heat.
You know, it's true.
Oh man. Oh boy. Well, on that note, we will
hopefully see you Saturday.
Yes. We might not see Rocky now.
We might not. Didn't last show. Very busy.
All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And again, you can bring some unwrapped toys with you.
Up to two, so you can get two. So JA is $20. You bring two unwrapped toys, so you have $10 ticket to see some of the best wrestlers and a WWE ID match. So you got the... You definitely got the future stars this Saturday. Good cause, raising money for Shogun, yeah. Raffle and auction, whatever. So come on down. If you want to get, you can do it online too. So if you need to buy tickets, we're putting together the prizes.
All right. Everyone, thank you for tuning in. And until next time, have a great week and happy wrestling, everybody.